That conversation on toilet paper was way too long.
Yep.
In other news, I can report that Guinness's new lager is delicious. Hop House 13.
Oh, right, okay. Jolly good. All right, welcome to the Max Show. Yes, we're here to discuss all of the things that have gone on in the Apple world in the whole week. And we've actually got a fair old bunch of stories. Yeah, it's not too bad, actually, this week. Yeah. Before we start, I've got an apology. So I was looking for an email about a particular subject, and I opened my app and I typed in the particular subject an acronym, and I got a whole pile of emails through, and I found an email from Brett Laddin. Okay, so apologies, Brett, because he sent it to me on at 10 to 6 on what was the date? It was October 2, 2013. and it was a great email with a whole pile of pictures that he'd taken showing me how good the iPhone 5S camera was. And I've got to say, it looked pretty good. I think it's going to be amazing when it's released. Sorry, I slipped into Greeny there for a minute. So, Brett, I do apologise, mate. I did reply to him and said, I've sent him an email saying I'm apologising. And he said, it's okay, I suppose I can wait 3 years for a response from you. And I don't want to have to wait, though, 3 years for another photo show episode. Any chance? And he said, I've been listening to Bagel Tech / British Tech now for over 10 years. I don't know if we've been going that long, but okay. And can say that yourself and all the others have inspired me to pursue a career in PC repair. I passed my Compter A+ certification, and once I recover from my Thai / Vietnamese holiday, I'm going to pursue gainful employment in the tech world. Well done, mate. Thanks for the inspiration and all the BT shows. Cheers, Brett. That's lovely to know that we've helped someone. I'm not sure who you got the inspiration from. Maybe Cary Holtzman, because that's what he does. But if you're basing your inspiration on the tech that I know, you ain't going to get a lot of customers, mate.
You, when you were late for email debt forgiveness day, though, you missed it.
What was that?
Wait a whole other year.
Was that a thing?
Yeah, April 30th is email debt forgiveness day. That's the day where you can reply to any email that you avoided, never replied to, never did anything with for whatever reason. On that day, and it's all okay.
I just hate to think how many more of those I got in there with people going, he's a bastard, that bloke.
Well, wait for April 30th next year, and then you can send it out.
Right.
I'll try to find you the link for the little blurb you put at the bottom that explains email debt forgiveness day. But yeah, the world recognizes that we all have these emails that for whatever reason, one reason or other, we missed them or we didn't want to reply to them because they were too awkward or whatever, right? And then you never do. Then you feel bad, right?
But yeah, I do. Feel
on that
bad.
Day, you don't have to feel bad.
Okay.
All is forgiven.
In my defense, one of the pictures had expanded itself into like a whole pile of code. So that maybe was why it shoved it in spam or something like that. So, but I'm sorry. But if anyone else is out there and you've sent me an email and I haven't replied, then it's not because I'm a tosser. It's because I just haven't got it. I can't find it. So there we go. Joining me to discuss the week in Apple, all the stuff and all the shiz that's gone on. Great bunch. Start us off top left, normal person. Adam, how you doing, mate? No, he's not top left. That's Doc.
When did I become a normal person? Let's get that straight.
Well, you two are so alike.
Weird. Your preview window is different than my preview window.
Yeah, sorry, man. So, Doc, how you doing, mate?
Oh, fantastic, fantastic. Just been working my butt off. But today, this weekend should be a chance to relax and get out there and hit the barbecue because it's America's birthday. Yeah.
What are you guys doing? What are the Yanks on the panel doing?
Everybody just barbecues.
It's just barbecue.
I don't know why it's such a big deal. Everybody barbecues and takes crappy pictures of fireworks.
Okay. That's easy to do.
That's about it. I still got Euros cracking, you know, so
more than England have. And hopefully more than Wales will have after tonight. Bastards. I'm doing it. Are you enjoying the footage? Who are you rooting for now then, mate?
Portugal, because of CR7. That's
so you're rooting for the firm that's the film the side rather that's drawn 5 times and narrowly squeaked to Benetton.
Yeah, I know
shootout.
It's crazy. It's been kind of a pain in the butt, but you know, I don't know. I just keep holding on. It's really weird to watch, you know, Ronaldo and Messi melt down at tournaments because when you watch them in regular open play. These guys are like unhuman. They're phenoms, but somehow in tournaments they both suck.
No, mate. If you look at the fantasy football sides that people have picked, I'll bet you there's probably hardly any that haven't got Ronaldo in it, and yet he's a bag of shite.
Oh, same with Wayne. I mean, for the club, Wayne's a beast. In country, Wayne sucks. I don't get it.
Well, to be fair, he was in a big bunch of suckers.
Yeah, he's a scuzzer. No, and actually, what was really crazy is I don't believe that Haji would not have Adam Lallana on the starting 11 in the last game when he was the best person in the whole thing, and they got dude sitting on the bench. I was like, what the hell's going on? And Sterling, so that dude should get a job on the Big Show holding lights, because that's about all he's good for.
We did ask, not a lot of people know this, but Harry Kane is actually a big tech fan, and we asked him on the show, but he's missed it by a month.
Oh.
But don't, okay. No, it wasn't Harry Kane. It was Harry Kane that missed that bloody free kick. Oh. He wouldn't have hit another set of goalposts. He nearly took out the bloody official.
There's a dude in the stand with a popcorn, and he knocked him down.
On the corner post, yeah. Adam, how are you doing, bud?
Doing good.
Is your wife slowly cramming you up there with stuff? Because you look like you're gathering more and more crap in your room.
Yeah. Well, it is a closet, to be fair.
Okay.
Hey, is that the Warner Brothers Red Monster from Bugs Bunny?
Yeah.
That's
oh,
amazing.
Oh, my God. That's so dope.
Nice.
Where did you find that?
Is that valuable?
Yeah. The Warner Brothers store, I think.
His name.
I'm trying to remember his name. Mortimer, right?
Mortimer, yeah.
Something like that. Yeah, that guy.
Oh. Cool. I'm going to see if he's available on 3D printing.
Yeah. The Disney Store Ass Monster.
Or Maurice? I don't remember his name.
What's he called? So is the Warner Brothers Red
I mean,
Monster?
They used to have Warner Brothers stores, and I think they're all dead now. They were kind of like Disney stores, you know?
Yeah.
His name was Gossamer, by the way.
Gossamer, thank you.
Yeah.
That was it. I knew someone would know.
Apple geek, Warner Brothers geek, Bugs Bunny geek, Disney geek.
Oh, there is one on Thingverse, but unfortunately, it looks like it was made by a 3-year-old, so I won't be printing that.
It probably was.
I'm doing a print at the moment, and I've spent about 250 hours printing. It's going to look awesome, but.
Yeah, but I mean, to answer the original question, yes, as the house gets cleaned out, other parts of the house get cleaned out, stuff is finding its way in here.
That's not good. That's not good, mate. You'll be sitting there and you'll look like you're a hoarder soon. Like you're one of those people that needs help from social services.
Yeah, mostly I just got to get rid of this stuff. Like, I mean, some of it's stuff I ordered and replaced, like cable modem boxes, and I got to take it out to the garage.
Have you been kidding us along and you're actually a billionaire like Howard Hughes, who's just got a really big fetish for like gathering stuff in there with you, and you'll have some string across there in a few days. And it's just
I've got the jar of piss over in the corner over there.
Budweiser.
You keep that for the weekends. Wow. Patrice, how are you, mate?
Great. I'm great. I mean, it has been a crazy couple of weeks. I'm tired, but yeah, other than that, it's summer, so.
I did say, actually, mate, you do realize you're going to need a visa for this show soon.
Yes, I know. I'm already looking at that.
I tell you what, mate, it's getting worse over here. Soon it could be Wheaters. We could be the English and Scottish tech network.
The thing is you're not joking, right?
No.
That's not a joke.
Maybe not for the show.
Well, see, now you say that, but we actually did get an email. We've had an email from Greg. Greg Bell's written in, and I'm presuming Greg Bell's from overseas, because he's put... Dear Ewan, Brexit. I know you usually avoid political topics, but I think many of the American BTN fans, including me, would enjoy hearing you and some of the other BTN hosts discuss recent events relating to Brexit. So basically, there was a backstabber, a bitch and a twat, and they convinced the nation to leave what was a perfectly good union where we've had peace in Europe for Christ knows how long, and it's all turned to rat shit. There you go. That's about it. Have I missed anything, Muller?
Yeah, and then after England lost Euros, they had two Brexits in 1 week.
Holy crap. it's end of days over here. There is absolute mayhem and photography stuff, right, on Wednesday just went 20% more expensive. Just done. Mm-hmm. You're like, Christ almighty, the pound is sucking Like a vacuum cleaner. It is awful.
And, well, is it gonna keep every going? Cloud has a silver lining, right? So from here, everything on Amazon just got way cheaper.
Yes.
it's going to get worse, mate. It's going to get worse, yeah. It's going to get a long way worse. And whether it's going to get better or not, holy crap, no idea.
Well, so the longer I wait, maybe my trip will get cheaper.
Oh, your trip? Book it now, man. You got 131 on the pound. Jesus, don't book your flight right now, but buy your currency. You might actually end up with a few quid in your pocket, mate. Yeah, no.
I actually booked my trip to the bash a little bit too early. I should have known.
Yeah, no, that was it. Well, the thing was, everyone was going on about me because I just bought myself a new camera. And the reason I bought it because I thought, oh, hang on, there's not many of those left. There's a tsunami in the warehouse or whatever, or earthquake in the warehouse. So there's going to be delay getting them over. By the time we go through Brexit, it's only ever going to get worse. It's not going to get better. So if we remain in, it stays the same. If we come out, it's going to go through the roof. I'm buying it now, and I bought it the day before. And lo and behold, am I the prophetic one? Next to him, it's Mike Potter. How you doing, buddy?
I am doing great, thank you. I noticed that Batwench is commenting on it being the footy show, so I thought I'd go ahead and comment on my I'm still recovering from the U.S. loss to Argentina a week ago in Copa America.
Well,
and,
at least it didn't lose to
looking
Iceland.
Forward to the Fire game this weekend. So that's my footy news. And I've been busy adding April 30th to my calendar here because I see Adam posted the email debt forgiveness link, and I have a lot of email debt to forgive. But I also have a lot of mayhem here as well because we are literally 2 weeks away from MacStoc, and so it's the crunch now. It's the final days. I'm getting all the T-shirts ready. I'm getting the food orders in, and I'm just... getting so excited to see everybody on the 16th of July.
And you've even brought your blue scarf, haven't you?
I
show
did.
Show them your scarf, dude.
Yes,
a proper
this is my,
footy scarf.
This is my MacStoc scarf, yeah. Absolutely. So these are going to be at MacStoc for anyone who wants one. And, of course, all the speakers are going to have theirs as well. So, yeah, I'm in full-on MacStoc promo mode here with my scarf.
Excellent, mate. Good stuff. Congratulations. Yeah. I wish you well. I hope it all goes smooth as silk. And I'm just gutted we can't do a live link up with a BTN or something. That would be really cool.
That would be great. Yeah.
Get all the. You want to start selling remote access for people that can't get out there. Sell them tickets.
That was actually something that was in the works, and it kind of fell through about a week or so ago. Been about 3 weeks now.
Not that you're cutting it close or anything.
That's how my time is condensed. I can't remember how. When this stuff has happened, but it's been about 3 weeks now, and kind of fell through. But I'm definitely looking at that for next year, for sure.
Yeah, excellently. And last but by no means least, the man who is Belgian, who is going to make sure that the Welsh go out of the Euros because they sodding deserve it after cheering Iceland's goal, bastards. Not that I'm holding a grudge. Bart Bouchot, how you doing, mate?
I'm doing just fine. I'm sorry to say, Ewan, there were a lot of people cheering when Iceland scored, and they weren't all in Iceland.
There were no. I think the entire population of Iceland was in that stadium clapping. That clap. Did you see that clap?
That
where they
clap
all go,
is so awesome.
That is like, I'm scared to death.
Oh, my God. It sounded like something from a horror movie. It was awesome.
Yes. That's exactly what it was like. It was like, I'm going to die. It was a horde. It's worse than the bloody bagpipes.
Well, I have to say, I'm loving it for them because it reminds me of the wonderful days of Italia 90, which is when Ireland, out of the blue, got into, I think, the semi-finals of the World Cup in Italy. And that just... Ireland was a little country that never went anywhere. And all of a sudden, we were in the knockout stages. Then we beat Italy. And it was just amazing. And I was only 10 at the time, but I will never forget Italia 90 and how it just united the country. And I'm assuming the Icelanders are having exactly that same experience. So good luck to them.
Yeah, no, I don't mind that bit, but it's just the fact that the sodding Welsh cheered another nation as opposed to one of the home nations, and I was going to throw my support behind them, but now they can go bollocks.
And they also voted for Brexit, so that's another reason.
And thank you for my invitation, Bart.
Oh, yes, you will be on my show.
I'm on a proper Apple show for the first time
this?
Ever.
Okay, point taken.
I'm not
so on Sunday, you will be joining me over on the Let's Talk Apple podcast. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
I am too. I've never been on a proper Apple podcast before. It's cool.
Wait a minute.
Oh, no, I've been on your show, Adam. Sorry. that wasn't live, kind of like a discussion. That was just like an interview tin thing. So, so the week in Apple, what's going on? What's been happening? What's up? And the best story of the week has got to be this one. Man sues Apple, Florida man sues Apple for $10 billion. He says his iOS device copy the iOS device is a copy of his 1992 drawings. And I've got to say, that looks more like an HP Jornada or a compact thing.
Compact thing.
Yeah, and it looks when you look at the description of what it actually does, it's pretty much an HP Jornada or a compact thing.
It's a Kindle, isn't it? A little keyboard at the bottom, an electronic reading device. It's a Kindle.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You should be suing Amazon.
Well, it's so funny when I heard this story, it just made me think of one of those situations when you got, you know, Pop still thinks he's in the war and like everything he does is still about the war. Like he wakes up in the morning bare ass with like a combat helmet and he walks towards the bathroom to brush his teeth. That's what I thought of when I saw this drawing and I heard about that lawsuit. I'm like, sorry, Pop, the war is over, man. That's exactly what it felt like.
I personally think this has probably got the Apple legal team running for the hills.
Well, he let the patent expire, and then he didn't renew it, right?
He didn't. I didn't even think he actually filed the patent.
Yeah, I know. I didn't realize there was something serious behind this.
Yeah, he something about he didn't pay, so it expired, and it's like, wow, like had he have paid, this might be valid, but he didn't pay, and I think the fee is super cheap.
Yeah, it was abandoned. Basically, he put in the application, the fee was due, he didn't pay the fee, so the application was abandoned.
Yeah,
so he doesn't have a patent.
Okay, that was the application. I couldn't remember the whole story.
So he's got some drawings. He's got no patent at all.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants $10
billion. Yeah, and also, he didn't do the actual work of inventing something. He had an idea. I have an idea for an underwater submarine that goes back in time.
Well,
it's not a patent. That's just an idea.
Well, no.
It's also a movie, Steve Zazu.
Yeah, the problem with patent law in the States is there's this weird prior art thing. So you're supposed to, you know, and I think you can even search stuff that was just submitted as application. So I don't know. I haven't read fully on his claim. I'm guessing he's trying to claim prior art. Like, hey, it was my idea, even without a patent. And it gets weird. Well, I mean, the courts can still decide. They're not going to.
The funny part about this whole thing is that 9 to 5 Max said, the headline was hilarious, craziest patent claim yet, $10 billion for childlike iPhone sketches. I'm looking at this and I'm watching my niece draw. That's not childlike. That's pretty actually good, but it's still funny that's just the way they write headlines nowadays.
Before you make fun of that, though, you should go and look at other patent drawings that are in patent applications. Because I went through this process when I was with the company, and we were told to draw specifically like simplistic drawings. And if you even look at Apple's ones, a lot of times what you'll see is just boxes and squares and little stick figures.
Yeah.
And
very basic. I was laughing at the way that they did it. That was just it's kind of a mean thing to say, actually, but it's 9 to 5 Mac, so there's that.
Yeah.
I mean, the reason for them being so generic is that, I mean, with any patent filing, you want to make it as broad as you're allowed to do. So the simpler the drawings are, the broader the language is, the more it will cover and the more your behind will be covered. That's why you do it that way.
I mean, it's a fold open device as well, which is, you know, kind of a bit prophetic for some of the fold open devices that there were at the time.
But Nokia have more to fear from this, I think, than Apple do, because one of those pictures looked just like a Nokia communicator.
Yeah, that's the second one, isn't it? Yeah.
But the issue is Nokia, well, doesn't really exist anymore, or there's not much to really gain there. So
true.
It's worse, right? Because is it Microsoft? back off again?
No. The patents are still with Microsoft.
Oh,
yeah,
right.
You still see Microsoft, yeah.
Yeah, true.
That was the only reason to buy Nokia in the first place was the patents. There's nothing else.
Well, they had lovely Lumiere handsets, and then they decided to kill those off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, WTF? That doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, no, they, I don't know. Well, yeah. Different story, save for the big show. So you think, how much is he getting? Is he going to get $1 million to shut up, or is he going to get just told something?
I was going to say, I think the only thing about this story that would be kind of cute is, I don't know, like $1 million, but they'll probably give him like, you know, one of the lifetime computer cards or something like that and be like, here, you know, here's a house full of Mac gear. Leave us alone. Right. And if I was on the other end of that patent, I'd be like stoked. I need like a Mac Pro for every room for the rubbish can. I need iPads for every room for the pinch, you know.
But like, the question is why? I mean, the only reason I can imagine why Apple would do that is that they don't want any internal documents to get out that would prove that this is not true or whatever.
Yeah, it's really not in Apple's interest to offer this guy anything because it just encourages trolls to come after them with stupid claims. Not that there's a lack of people coming after them with stupid claims, but there's no point in making it worse.
They do often do this, but I think most cases it's sealed, so we never hear about it. But I'm pretty sure they give this kind of stuff away to shut people up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you'll find an email from Steve Jobs to Johnny Ive, and Johnny Ive goes, I was down the patent office, guess what I saw? A bloke was trying to renew and couldn't afford it. And Apple have got a picture of the drawing. Enough of that frivolity, because that's gone on far too long. totally. Move on, for God's sake. Thunderbolt displays are discontinued, allegedly.
They're definitely discontinued. It's not even allegedly.
Yeah, no, they're definitely discontinued. But the allegedly part is the fact that people say that there are new Thunderbolt displays coming with integrated GPUs and they're still in the works. And I've got to say, I thought this was... Because the way that the Apple thing was written, it was like, you know, there's lots of people out there in third parties doing this far better than us. Go and see them. Yep. And I don't think there's... I can't see them replacing this because there's Thunderbolt monitors out there that are just as good. Or better, and I can't see him going to a 5K display because it just price himself out of the market.
If Apple had wanted to replace it, they just would have waited. I mean, they could have sold this thing for another year or two or however long it takes them to get the new display ready. I think the fact that they discontinued it basically did it really officially by releasing a press release. To tell you something, and that's my biggest gripe with biggest part of the press, that they took this and said no, but this is not happening, and Apple has to release a new Thunderbolt display, and they have to replace it, and blah blah blah. And I really hated that. I mean, it was all over the press.
I hate when people say they have to do anything. They don't have to do a damn thing. No. But I agree with you. One of the reasons why it doesn't make sense, right, that I'm, like, financially right now, the margin on displays is so small that for what Apple likes to make as a margin on a product, it's hard to build a display that's even remotely competitive and still put them at a decent margin. Most of these higher-end monitors are like, rolling on 4% or 5% profit margin, and just Apple's not in that level of the game. You look at the guys who are in the game, LG, Samsung, you know, and the likes like that. I mean, these guys also make larger televisions to which that they can subsidize some of this off of, and also can bring some of that tech into the smaller monitors. So like the current beast on the street is like the LG giant, you know, two monitors stuck to one, rolls only at like $600, and now they're rocking that as a 4K. So how do you go as Apple and sell a 27-inch, you know, 4K or 5K display that you want to sell for like $1,500 when you can buy a double up monitor that's, so to speak, just as good for half the price?
You've got the 4K monitors from £300 over here at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Yes. Same here.
And some of them even have Thunderbolt and stuff like that. So it's not even that Thunderbolt would be something that only Apple is doing now. Yeah. There is. I mean, even if Apple wants to charge a premium for their... For their display, which they did with the Thunderbolt display, even then it's just not attractive anymore, I think. I mean, the only reason I would allow is that it's a little bit weird that they sell a couple of devices where you can't at least buy a monitor from Apple. I mean, like the Mac Pro and the Mac Minis, but they can just offer a third-party option, optionally, and that's it.
Mike and Bart, you're being really polite here. Don't sit and wait, otherwise you'll be there sat with your thumbs all night, mate. Dive in.
Well, I'm just trying to think if I care. I haven't come to a conclusion, so I guess that means I don't. If you want a really nice monitor from Apple, buy an iMac.
True.
That's all
and a lot of people have done that.
Yeah. I mean, I started off in the Mac world as a Mac Mini person. And obviously when you're a Mac Mini person, you care about monitors. And then I switched to my first iMac and I'm just never going to go back. 27-inch iMacs, that's the computer for me. I buy a new one every 5 or 6 years and it works perfectly and it's gorgeous. So, I don't know, I'm not sure that Apple need to be in that market. I also wouldn't be at all surprised if the little trash can MacBook Pro or Mac Pro went away and was never replaced with anything.
Oh, I hope not, because it's a really good machine, mate, for a pro user. It's really, it's
fun. Well, it was, but it hasn't been updated in, what, 2.5 years or something? The CPU in there is garbage now. The graphics card is completely out of date.
Speaking as a person who owns one of those garbage tins, it doesn't need it, because it still strips. I mean, if you look at a lot of the pro apps that are used for graphics and for film, it strips it is fast, it is mega fast, it is way overpowered for what I actually need it for.
Well, sure, but you bought it when it was new and it's going to do you well for 5 years. But if you were buying a brand new machine today, I wouldn't say, oh yeah, I expect to do 5 years with that, because it's already 2 years old.
Yeah,
and the CPU is even older than that.
But they'll do processor flops and stuff like that. But I mean, now that, and particularly
but
now.
They don't.
Well, no,
they don't. Like, there have been new processors from Intel, new server-end processors is what that thing runs, and they just are not pushing them out. They just don't seem to care.
Yeah, no.
Well, see, you and most pros who are in the know are going to do the right cycling thing, right? So your key is just getting on Apple's cycle, and you're going to buy it when it's brand new, and you're going to get 5 years out of it, and they'll have a brand new one ready for you when you're ready to upgrade. It's the buying mid-cycle, but I think most pro users kind of know that at this point.
Mm-hmm. Most pro users have never done the TikTok swag. The TikTok swag is designed for consumers and, you know, things of that, like, I don't know if there's anything other than that. But yeah, the pro guys, they've never done the TikTok swag. You're basically on the cycle. And Adam's absolutely correct. And then to Patrice's point about the displays, you know, honestly, I'm thinking because of the Mac Pro and because of the Mac Mini, they actually stayed in the display game longer than they wanted to. I think even the Thunderbolt display as we know it today, as a rebirth of the cinema display, Apple was kind of wanting to get out of the game back then, but everybody would have had a cow. I think they're in a better position right now to kind of just, okay, enough is enough, and then we're done. Yeah. Let other people handle this. Because I just remember at the store, like, we would sell a cinema display about 3 times a year. You know, and we have one of the busiest stores in the nation here.
I mean, I once bought four of them, but that was, I don't know, 5-6 years ago.
My only complaint with the third-party displays is, why the crap can't they put them in a decent case? I mean, that's the thing. I think the number one reason people like Apple's display is because the thing is built really well.
Like,
and all the other ones, I mean, they look great. They have great glass in them. But, you know, 90%, I know there's some exceptions, but like 90% of them have like cheap plastic crappy cases.
Yeah, but that's why they're £300.
I know. Oh my God. I get it.
I have an idea, gang.
That's where they skimp. But I mean, so there's what I'm saying is, I think with a third party 4 or 5K display, I think there's a market for someone to come in and sell a $900 one instead of a $600 one and put a killer case on it.
So here's what we do. We go and we build the BTN thing so we can make some money for like bashes for the next 5 years. All we're going to do is build an aluminum hook with the best amount so that you could take any monitor and turn it into what looks like Apple monitor. You'll just connect the aluminum foot so you can put your little, I have my 3D printed hard drive tray on the back of mine right now.
Doc, I think that I've seen that somewhere. I think that even exists already.
But he didn't pay the filing fee, so we can.
Is there a patent? Yeah, no, absolutely.
I mean, a Visa mount on the back of something would actually work, right? They all have these same mounting, so it's actually entirely doable.
Mike, any thoughts?
Well, I think there's a lot to be said for the rumor of a display with a built-in GPU. I think that's really intriguing. Will it actually happen? No, I don't think that'll happen. But, I in this office here, I only just replaced my aging Mac Pro after having it for 10 years. Mm-hmm. And I replaced it with a 2012 refurbished Mac Pro. And my old cinema display, my 23-inch cinema display, didn't work. So I purchased a Dell display to connect to that, because I wasn't going to spend $900 on an Apple display. And I don't have Thunderbolt on here anyway, I don't think. But at the office, I have a 27-inch iMac. Here I've got my MacBook Pro. I don't have a need for an Apple display. And I think that's the case. As Doc said, they sold three a year. I think that's the case for a lot of folks. They don't have a need for it. And when they do replace their Mac Pro, they're just going to keep the existing display. So there's not a lot of churn on those devices as long as they keep working. I only replaced my 23-inch because it stopped working. That's the only reason I replaced it.
I think the other thing, though, as well, I mean, I used to do an awful lot of editing in hotel rooms and stuff like that with my MacBook Pro. And now that they've taken the RAM down, and the it's better now because the GPU is a bit better off, but that was always, you know, really quite slow. Now, and you look at the comparison between the two, and you're never going to get the MacBook Pro to come up to higher standards, not necessarily the speed of the Mac Pro, but it's not even close now. And that's where there used to be a parity that you could add to the MacBook Pro, and now you can't. And I think that's kind of killed it a little bit for me. And if they take away the Mac Pro, I'm kind of thinking, well, if you're looking at video editors are going to just go, well, what the hell do I use? I'm sorry, but there is nothing out there that I can use, because the MacBook Pro isn't good enough. Not by a long streak.
You know what's crazy is, I think that there will, it's going to be maybe like two more cycles, but I've messed around with, you know, editing on my iPad Pro, and no, it's not quite the same because you don't have the proper ingest and egest and whatever's, but I'm amazed at the power and speed of this thing. And I was like, this would be really dope workflow because of the tactileness of editing with your fingers. It's just iMovie is such a shite app. It kind of ruins the feel, but the process is kind of dope. And as we're getting closer and closer to cameras that you can transfer the data via Wi-Fi or some other things, like, I can see that being the very, very early beginnings of, you know, something that may come to the future where we do have a decent size, high powered combination Wacom S tablet. Plus, you know, high power processors and 5K displays.
For a pro, that would be an absolute nightmare, mate. You cannot work on an iPad for that kind of stuff. It's just, you know, I get stuff back. I mean, I can't even work in AVCHD. I hate the format. I think it's shit. I think it's the worst possible use of file management you can ever get to. Yes. And if I look at a camera, it says works on the AVCHD format. I'm like, well, you can keep that in because I'm not interested. And I like having a file. I like having the ability to put the files in, chop them up into smaller quantities so that I can rapidly move them through the video, and then dump them out as MOV files at full resolution, and then start dragging those into a timeline to crank it up and use markers and create. And you can't do that on an iPad. That's just
bollocks. No, not currently. And I agree with you 100%.
And you never will. You never will because the interface is wrong. It's got to be a desktop. It's got to be a laptop, but the laptops can't deal with it.
No, but see, well, you're missing my point. My point is that it's not going to necessarily be on the iPad. The iPad is going to be the window. It's going to be the monitor, if you will, that you touch. But as the file transfers, you know, like, gets faster, what's going to happen is you'll be doing this stuff here. The files will reside in a hard drive that's on the box, on the desk. But you're actually doing the window in your hand.
The GPU is never going to deal with that.
I bet you it's coming.
The GPU is never going to deal with that.
5 years from now, we're going to be cracking up.
Not so sure about that.
But 5 minutes from now, you won't be. You'd be on 4K.
Yeah,
you're not scaling with the resolution, man. In your head, you're scaling with the CPU in your head, and the Moore's law's screwed. You've got to scale with the resolution in mind and the frame rates and the frame rate translations.
What is it called? An AnyDesk? Like Sony has something that's kind of sort of like it now, but, you know, it's slightly different because it's tethered, but they got this thing called the AnyCast. And actually, believe it or not, when I was at the last Sony Pro show, they got 8K stuff railing in Japan, and they've got rid of like the long BNC cables. They're actually moving 5 to 8K video via Wi-Fi between devices on site. It's pretty nuts. So that's the reason why I'm not looking at it from an Apple perspective. Like, I know what Sony's working on because of the last pro show that I went to, and it's some crazy stuff coming on. I'll send you links. Like, it will blow your mind what they're working on. And if they can get to that, we're closer than we think.
At what price?
Oh, trust me, it's bank. It's Sony.
Yeah, so you know, I'm sorry, but Apple haven't stepped away from a Pro machine, and I don't think they've got plans to step away from a Pro machine. I think they might expect that the MacBook Pro will do more than it actually does, but I don't think they're going to step away from a Pro machine. They'd be mad to, absolutely mad to, because there is a lot of people out there who are tied into it and would love it.
As long as they threw all the photographers out.
Say again, Bart.
They threw all the photographers out without blinking.
I don't think that's true. The MacBook Pro runs Photoshop.
Well, no, Aperture. They just went, oh, here's a pro app. We think this is great for pro photographers. You're going to make your living off this app. Oh, no, sorry, it's gone. Good day. Yeah. I really don't. I would be surprised
if anyone with any common sense wasn't using it.
That's what lots of people are using it.
Yeah.
Not people than using the Dustbin Mac Pro.
Not the ones that are clever.
That's a different story.
The ones that were clever were either using Lightroom, and they were the subspecies. They weren't the really clever ones. The really clever ones are the ones that use Finder to store their files.
Yeah. That's a discussion for a photography show someday, but I'll just say you. Yeah. No, I would be, you know, 5 years from now, I wouldn't be surprised if, as far as Apple are concerned, pros have an iPad Pro or a MacBook Pro, but they don't have desktops anymore.
I hope I'm dead by that point.
I hope not, Ewan. That would be terrible.
No, I hope not too, because we have nobody to pick
you
on.
Speak for yourself, mate. I'll welcome it. Welcome rather than not have me, bro.
Doc, on the iPad Pro, have you tried Pinnacle Studio Pro for video editing?
I downloaded it, but I haven't messed with it yet. But yeah, I'm looking for something better. And again, it's only for, you know, crap that I throw up on Instagram and YouTube, but iMovie sucks for that particular format, but Final Cut. I'm amazed at the power on this thing.
Why are you using Final Cut? Final Cut is blistering, mate, and it's the magnetic touch.
Not on an iPad Pro.
Oh, okay, sorry, man. Misheard. Apologies. Spotify and Apple have gone into meltdown, it seems. Spotify and Apple are embroiled in a major dispute, which Spotify is today taking to the court of public opinion. And also, they've got a senator who's Elizabeth Warren has accused Apple of trying to snuff out the competition and saying that what Apple are doing is anti-competitive.
This was a total play on Spotify's part so that they could call out Apple in the media.
Sure.
They submitted a update that they knew was not going to get approved because they're messing with bypassing the in-app purchase stuff. And that's against the rules. So, and they know that. They've known that for years. So why would they have submitted that for review unless the only reason they would have done that was so that they could make a big stink about it getting rejected?
Mm. Well, no, they want to make a big stink about the fact that there's a 30% tax on competing with Apple. I mean, if you look at it from their point of view, Apple get to sell their stuff and everyone else has to pay an extra third.
Well, and that's not even true anymore, though.
Well, for the first year, you pay an extra third, and then you pay an extra 15%. I mean, it is not a level. If you're Spotify, you are not playing on a level playing field. And Apple may have reasons for saying why we think the field should be tilted our way. We're bringing all these customers to you. But I can entirely see it from Spotify's point of view.
Oh, I see it from their point of view as well. And there's a deeper conversation to have here. But just how the media has been reporting this, make no mistake. I mean, this was a move by Spotify to get this into the court of public opinion and into media and in front of people because they're pissed about it. Now, the separate conversation is, do they have a right to be pissed about it? Yeah, maybe they do. Maybe they're not handling it the best way. They could go to Apple and do some negotiating like other companies have, like HBO and Netflix and some of these others. And those guys still, I mean, we've got to take the conversation further. They're not getting the best deal. And I do think maybe it's time for Apple to reevaluate with the current market and how consolidation is happening with these companies and the fact that they are now in the streaming music business actually is probably the biggest reason why they're going to have to deal with this and may have to let Spotify in without charging them extra, right? Because now they're seen as anti-competitive because now they have a competitive, you know, before they did not have a competing streaming service. So they could argue, well, you know, we're the playing field's level for everybody that is doing a streaming media player on iOS. Well, it's not now. Right, so that is valid, but the same
thing goes for basically any video content. I mean, it's not Apple isn't offering video streaming, but they are offering videos and they are selling them, well, for a different price.
Right, and then you know, e-books. like right now everybody's E-books, screaming yeah. anti-competitive and monopoly. Let's just get something straight. It can't be a monopoly. Why? Because Google Play exists. Why? Because there's other form factors and other manufacturers that allowed us to work. So you can't get monopoly. You can get anti-competitive. Monopoly mono means one. There is not one unless we're talking about rings to rule them all. But, you know, so if you're going to come at it from the right terminology, Steve. And other than that, I think the thing that's kind of screwed up, though, this happens every single day in malls around the United States of America. Every single mall charges businesses a percentage of their income in order to be put in the mall. But what do you get with the mall? The maintenance, the facilities, the parking lots, and the extra traffic. And no one ever wants to come at it from that point. Apple, when they built the store, they built it with the mall kind of thing in mind. And I think part of it comes from the fact that it just so happened to coincide with the building of their stores. And they pay this to General Growth Properties or to Westerfield or whomever it is that is running said mall. They do it on their side. So why does everybody get pissed when they want to do it with their store? It makes sense to me. I mean, maybe like Adam said, they need to renegotiate the fees or come out with better terms or whatever, and maybe they can get rid of any competitive tag. But that's just how it works. It's the cost of doing business. Like, do it.
The other thing I'm having a hard time with on this is we're talking about a payment system that's built into the operating system that is an option to use, right? And so I think from Apple's perspective, and we can go deeper on whether this is right or not, but from Apple's perspective, it's okay, if you want to use our payment platform that's built in, you've got to give us a cut. Well, every other payment processor does that as well to a certain degree, yeah. right? And not so as much. If they were using PayPal to do their subscriptions, PayPal is going to take a percentage of what they're doing, even if they're in the iOS App Store. So Apple may be seeing it sort of from that position. Now, the 30% is a 10x higher fee if you're going to make that argument. So that's probably not the best comparison. But the point is that Apple is not blocking the Spotify app from being in the store, and Spotify can sign up their customers and do the recurring billing and do everything they want outside of the app. They're just saying, hey, if you're going to do it in the app, you got to use our system.
And they have been doing it properly for years and doing really good at it. So that's why it's even more funny that they're coming at it from this kind of like, let me go cause some trouble angle.
But well, they're probably suffering, right? Apple Music has just come into being about a year ago. I'm assuming their revenue is down, and they're feeling they're being competed with in a way they can't fight back against.
I feel sorry for them on the basis that by the time they've paid their revenues and they've paid the 30% to Apple and they pay the amounts to Taylor Swift and et al., then there's probably fudge all left.
I have to ask this, though. Do people really believe or think that if that is the case, if Apple Music is taking subscribers away from Spotify, does anybody here really think the reason that's happening is because I can get my Apple Music subscription in-app and I can't get my Spotify in-app?
No.
Nope.
No. And hold on, I found the story. And according to Forbes, Spotify gained 13 million users since Apple Music came out. People have actually jumped Apple Music to go to Spotify.
Even said that. You know, their business has gone up since Apple Music.
So they should actually shut all the way the F up.
Mm. Well, again, I think the difference now, and we can't ignore this, is that the landscape has changed. The landscape of streaming music companies are consolidating because the other thing that's in the news is Apple might buy Tidal, so there's less competition. So there's not monopolies yet, but it's getting tighter. And so Apple does have to be a little bit careful. And that's why I think, we've got Elizabeth Warren and senators now jumping in, is because it does end up looking very much anti-competitive. And it may behoove Apple to start to think about waiving that policy or changing that policy for certain categories of apps that are in the iOS store. They don't have to get rid of it for everything, but now that they are in the streaming music business, maybe it is right that if someone's doing a streaming music app, they should be able to use the service at either a reduced fee or something else. But my other point is that there have been other companies that have gone to Apple, said, hey, we want to do in-app purchases, the 30% or in-app subscriptions, 30% is too much, can we work something out? And Apple has worked stuff out with people. I don't know if Spotify went to Apple and Apple said no, or if they've just chosen to take this route, with their fight, take it public. That's not clear.
Muller has got a definition for us in the chat room, and I think it's the word is not monopoly so much as monopolistic. A pure monopoly is a single supplier in a market. For the purposes of regulation, however, monopoly power exists when a single firm controls 25% or more of a particular market. Now, I don't know whether Apple is or isn't, but I mean, I wouldn't be surprised to find out they've got more than 25% of the
market. But Spotify has a bigger source than they do. So I put the chart in when we first.
Well, let's not throw figures about, Doc, unless we actually know them. I know that sounds strange for this network.
I put the thing in the chart in the show, like when Apple Music first came out, and I'll find you an updated one.
So tell me the quantity that they control of the market then, and we'll talk about it. But
I can give you that actual Spotify versus Apple paid subscriber numbers. So
that's not the market, though, is it? That's not the market.
The question is, what is the market? Is it all the smartphones? Is it just all people who are subscribed to a music streaming service? Is it iOS like Muller thinks? I mean, what is the market here? I think that is the question.
Market would be streaming music services.
Well, right, because the US courts have already weighed in. There was a case against Apple where the Mac App Store was challenged because they had a monopoly on... No, it was Apple was challenged because they were shutting down cloners of the Mac, and the challenge was, will Apple have a monopoly on making Macs? And the US courts laughed out of the shop because it's like, yeah, and Ford have a monopoly on Fords. There are loads of computers. Apple do not have a monopoly on computers. Go away, you silly person.
Yeah, that's a correct decision, definitely.
Yeah.
So Apple has 13 million paid subscribers. Spotify has 30. Tidal has 3. And Pandora has 4. So Spotify
more than 25%
three times the paying subscribers than Apple. So therefore, if you're going to use that term, Spotify has the monopoly.
But Apple still has more than 25%.
In a market with only about 5 people, I don't think the 25% number is meaningful. Like in a market, if someone was making 25% of the cars in the world, and there are, you know, 50 or 60 car companies, then 25% is meaningful. Mm-hmm. But in a teeny tiny nascent market where there's only 5 or 6 players, if there's only 3 players, then everyone's a monopoly. If there's only 4 players, chances are most of them are monopolies. I mean, actually, that 25% number makes no sense in these kind of new emerging markets.
Well, I think we're postulating about a business we don't understand. That's the point.
Yeah. How come nobody's counting Amazon Prime?
Amazon Prime, you've got Google, you've got YouTube as well as a streaming music service for Vivo and that kind of stuff. It's bigger than just, that's what I'm saying. I think we're talking out our asses, boys, which is not uncommon for this show.
You said it was an informal show where we could pretend like we're mates around a pub. Isn't that what you do in a pub?
Well, no, I do agree that we talk bollocks plenty, but... I just think that
I agree
that the thing is, I don't mind us talking bollocks. It's when we start putting figures on those bollocks and believing that they're right, then I think we're going to have a problem.
So we can only go by what's published, and published figures aren't necessarily right, but they are published. And so if Forbes is putting it there, New York Times is putting it there, then it's
Doc latches onto the figure that suits his argument and says it must be true.
No, I'm not saying it must be true. That's the data that we have. We all know that half the stuff that's fed to us is BS.
And Mike Potter's sitting there going, I want to be back in Kansas.
No, I'm fine. It just seems like this argument's been made before. This happened with the Amazon Kindle bookstore. This happened with other products. And in other cases, they haven't had to involve senators in the public, court of public opinion. They just worked it out themselves. They figured out what part of the playground they're going to play in, and that's where they played. And that's what Amazon did. They said, okay, look, if you're going to charge us 30% of these book sales, we're going to just sell the books in our website, and people can read them in our app.
Amazon didn't say, oh, it's all right. Amazon set the DOJ on Apple and won.
I got $9.37 because I didn't want to like put any
figures
ago.
Out there.
Yeah, see, no figures. See, no figures.
Can I kind of summarize my thoughts on sort of what happened here and why it's ultimately different and why it's going on? Here's the deal. Spotify is peeved that because they want to sell in-app purchase subscriptions in their app on iOS. Okay, Apple does the 30%, so they don't like that. So they go put out this thing because they want to bring it into the court of public opinion, which they've achieved. It's now out there, and at the end of the day, because of the changing landscape, like I said earlier, I think they have it's going to work for them, right? this is now going to get looked into just like the Amazon thing did. And Apple, if I was Apple, I'd be a little bit worried. They're going to come off looking anti-competitive and monopolistic. I think that's the right term, Ewan. Now, whether or not, you know, I feel the same way, I don't know. But I mean, that's what's happening. I mean, that's what this is all about. This is about, you know, Apple is now in this market, so they're a competitor. So now we can put them in this light where they seem monopolistic. And we're going to try to do that and see if we can get our way. I mean, that's the play from Spotify's point of view. And I'm not saying that's bad. I'm not saying that's wrong for them to do that. But that's why they're doing it.
I think to put a football analogy on it, Apple are refereeing a game that they're also taking part in.
Yep.
But that's, I referee the game that I take part in. You know, it doesn't mean they can't go to another supplier of something, but correct. If you want me to shoot my footage and make the film for you, then you pay my rates and that's the end of it. If you don't like my rates, go somewhere else. That's the same analogy. I don't think it's that much different.
Well, no, because an app store is not, like, the app store is there to serve the entire platform. There are competitors in a market. It was doing quite well as a market. You know, the companies were having it out. The best company was winning, and then Apple came along and just gave itself a 30% advantage.
No, I don't think they did. I think they gave an opportunity. I think the mall analogy works far better in that circumstance. Right. The one thing I think you've got to be careful of is the fact that I think there's an awful lot of plays that go on in the US courts now that are actually to stir up the EU, and the EU then will come in and go, nah, monopolistic stuff, you're 1.2 billion fine, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
And the world is far more scared of the EU now as an anti-competitive tooth than the US is, because the US is a bit snake oil salesman and Wild West with this kind of stuff. It's not always fair in the way that it rules, although Bart's thing earlier on about the Ford thing was a good analogy and it worked perfectly and it was correct. But I think I'm sorry we're out of the EU or going out of the EU, because one of the main protections that we've got is consumer protection in the EU. It's been fantastic over the last 20 years and people have forgotten that, and it's a real bad thing, definitely. Mm.
Yeah, because what happened to Microsoft shows, you know, Microsoft lost their case, Bush came in and just went, ah, no, it's all right, you're grand, Microsoft, you don't have to split up after all. And that has been the end of US being effective at anti-competitive stuff. And all they seem to have managed to do is attack the upstart, which is Apple, against the monopolist, which is Amazon, and find in favor of the monopolist.
Yeah, let's wait and see. We'll come back in a few weeks when the EU have got hold of this ragdoll and thrown it around the room a bit more.
But they take forever, right? So, you know, 3 years from now, there'll be some sort of report coming out from the EU and they'll say things that, oh, we think Apple are naughty and they need to change their ways, and there'll be a big negotiation. Apple will agree to change something and it'll all be grand.
And in 3 years' time, you'll be caring about it and I won't care because I'm not in the EU anymore. many Apple Watch bands and bundles are currently listed as sold out. They did say it was going to be a seasonal business with bands, but 38mm Sport is out of stock in stone, apricot, lavender, lilac, turquoise. I'm not going to read the whole list. 42mm Sport is gone in some of the colours. 38 and 42mm nylons are gone in the golden royal blue. There's an awful lot here. There's probably 30 bands that are gone in various sizes. Is this just seasonal flow or churn, or is this?
Yep.
I mean, the sport band in white. I mean, that's, or sport band in black. The classic buckle in black. Those are things that you would say are the stock item.
Yeah, black is the most neutral one. I mean, I would imagine, no matter how fashionable they get and how many seasonal things they bring in, surely to goodness, black is always in fashion.
Absolutely. Right. Couldn't agree.
Yeah, more. Probably the press reading more into it than it is. Life. But I mean, they're right in the fact that Apple's going to change these out seasonally with some of the lineup, right? I think like the woven bands and some of the other ones, certain colors are going to get swapped out time to time. But I think you're absolutely right too, Ewan. There's got to be a base. There's a base set that is probably going to always be there.
Well, here's one that shocks me. 42 mil blue sport.
Oh, that's mine.
42 mil blue sport is, I'm floored that that's gone.
Yeah, but it might still be, I mean, any kind of production issue, or they just switch production to the other bands and underestimated how many people would buy the existing lineup.
Yeah.
Could be one of many reasons. It doesn't mean that they are dropping those.
I hope not. I only own two bands. It's the black sport one and the blue sport one. And you said both of those are gone.
No, black buckle is gone.
Oh, okay.
In 42mm. Black classic buckle. The pink in 38mm sport's gone. Bad luck, Patrice. And 42 millimeter link bracelet space black gun, which is another one I was quite surprised at. But the classic buckle in black, I'd have seen that as my stock item. That's my little black dress, isn't it, of Apple Watch bands.
I have to wonder too how much the third party band market is getting larger and larger as well. And I know a lot of people who don't want to pay the Apple tax to have the Apple bands. So it may be them starting to realize that we can't have as many options as we do and still kind of remain profitable. It'll be interesting to see if they have smaller lineups, but more frequent churn in terms of designs to kind of pump sales. So, hey, there's a bunch of new ones out. Grab the new ones before they go away. It creates a sense of urgency as well. So they could be messing around with trying to figure out how do we sell accessories. I mean, this was, believe it or not, I mean, at a different scale in a totally different way, this was a problem Apple had when they brought out the gumdrop iMacs. They used to make resellers buy one of every color if they want. Like, you couldn't just order a bunch of Bondi blue ones or, you know, a bunch of blue ones because that was the most popular color. It was like, well, if you're going to order blue ones, you got to take a green one and a pink one too. And it was a real nightmare for sellers because Apple was ending up with inventory that no one wanted. So It gets tricky when you're trying to figure out fashion trends and figure out what people want.
But black is always in fashion.
I get that. I think that's an anomaly, but it doesn't surprise me that there'd be certain ones that they would cycle out. The white sport, I would think, would be an anomaly too, unless it gets really dirty or something. I don't have one, so, you know, maybe more of a...
It repels dirt relatively well. Not impervious, but relatively well. You know, Adam, I remember what you're talking about, and the funny thing is, that's how I ended up with a Flower Power iMac for my personal use, was because we couldn't sell ours. I got stuck with it, and so it became my iMac, and then everybody's like, why do you have a Flower iMac? I'm like, long story.
Yeah, but you're glad you do now, aren't you?
No, I was dumb enough to get rid of it. I kept the orange one. I still got the orange one. But
I have a blue Dalmatian.
What was the other one? The snow one was pretty popular here. The gray, the green, and the orange were pretty popular here.
Yeah. Anyway.
Moving on. Weak iPhone demand for option 7 is likely to mean that conservative chip orders have taken place. There's been a big client in the US, unquote, ASEs, the people who make the chips, more conservative when placing orders this year, said Tien Wu, ASE's chief operating officer, ahead of the company's annual shareholder meeting. They didn't specify who it was, but everyone's reading into that it's Apple, and everyone thinks that the iPhone 7 might be a bit of a turd in terms of hardware.
That's inaccurate. That last statement's inaccurate. All the other rest of the stuff is probably spot on. It's not that Apple thinks that the iPhone's going to be a turd. It's just that Apple
knows conservatively that
it's not going to sell in the numbers that, you know, iPhones have traditionally, and they never will again. That's what people have to realize, is we're past peak iPhone. You know, we're on to the cash cow version of iPhone, just like we saw with the iPod cycle, and Apple's going to continue to sell a lot of them, but they're not going to have record-breaking numbers anymore, and you're not going to see growth. You're going to see sort of a steady, slow decline, and people are moving to a longer upgrade cycle. And probably a big factor for the iPhone 7, if the headphone jack rumor comes to be, Apple probably also recognizes that there's going to be a whole group of consumers that won't buy it just because it doesn't have a 3.5 millimeter headphone jack. They'll skip this one and hold off having to replace their headphones for, you know, a year or two if they can, and just stick with the iPhone that they have.
Oh, well, yeah, no, I mean, that's the one thing that really has kind of got me a little bit annoyed as well, is that they've released, there's a couple of people have released ideas of what they're going to look like, but here's a headphone to Cirrus Logic codec MCU audio interface for Lightning, and it's just like, I don't want another frigging dongle. Shut off.
I think Apple, with their hatred of cables, is hoping you don't go for a Lightning headphones. I think they're hoping you go Bluetooth.
Well, yeah.
Well, they're going to, the rumor is they're going to include an adapter in the box, and it will probably not look like this one. What that picture you have up there, Ewan, is just a reference platform for companies who want to make an adapter. Cirrus Logic is putting out a made for iPhone kit for a Logic to 3.5mm analog thing for manufacturers to take and then do. So you can't go off that design. It's just that's just a reference thing. I mean, you can design it however you want. You know, an Apple will have a sexy looking one. It probably isn't going to have inline controls. It's probably just going to be a straight, you know, Lightning to 3.5mm port. And other companies will do something else. So yeah, no. This is not going to be, people are going to make a huge deal about this. And again, there's going to be a lot of angry people over this, but just like the floppy drive and all the other things that Apple has, you know, killed over the years, it will pass.
Yep. And as funny thing is, every time they decide to do something, every time the argument comes up, oh, this is so dumb, this is so dumb, this is so dumb. Mm-hmm. And every time they prove it, everybody is wrong for the most part, except for a couple. And it's just kind of funny. Like, I'm glad to get rid of the port. I've seen enough broken headphones. I've seen enough, you know, dirt and crap get in it. Like, we're kind of at a stage we don't need it. And no, Bluetooth headphones don't sound as nice. And, you know, only a handful of us are marred by that because most people are listening to Swift Bieber. So it doesn't matter anyway. I don't know. I just think it's kind of a good thing. But the funny thing is also, I think Apple is at a point where if they decided to do what everyone says they're going to do and kind of let this one, number 9, mull, they're going to let number 9 mull because next year is going to be the 10th anniversary. So why not save all the heavy heat to bring out, you know what I mean? Until then, I dug this baby out because literally 9 years ago today, I got this in the mail from Steve for all Apple employees, and I refused to let it go.
No, I've still got my first one, and it's a great seminal device, most definitely. But
remember, things like killing the headphone jack, that's going to push other technologies forward that have been languishing a little bit. So everybody likes to talk about Bluetooth isn't good as good. Bluetooth isn't, you know, so the minute everybody has to go Bluetooth or is using more Bluetooth, it's going to push prices down and also cause people to solve some of the problems that are existing there and come up with new technologies, solutions. Yeah, you got to push the needle forward. You can't, and 3.5mm is, from the 80s.
Like, could you imagine what happened if they never got rid of the floppy drive? Like how many people would still be dealing with that piece of crap tech? Maybe not at this point, but things moved really quickly after everyone started dropping the floppy.
Yeah. There are so many examples in Apple's lineup. Think about the CD drives, the Ethernet ports in certain devices, floppy and so on. Apple has done this, and usually they were a little early for the time. I mean, I know people today that are still using.
That's the point I was going to make, Patrice. They've done it, and they've put people through a lot of shit in the past. Yeah, unnecessarily.
Definitely,
and that's what Apple does.
It's
not unnecessarily.
Sorry, I didn't realize that was a USP. Jesus Christ! Calm down, fanboys. God Almighty.
So I thought this would come up. The article I found and saved here to talk about is Apple supports the average port for 15 years. The headphone socket is at 32 years, which is exactly what Adam just said. And this is 9-to-5 Mac, and there's a nice little chart in here called the Apple I/O Death Chart, covering anything from ADB all the way on up to the headphone jack. And it's just an interesting point that, here we've got this jack that's been in use for 32 years. And everything else, at most, they're saying 15 years.
Yeah, but I don't think that's necessarily the reason why they want to drop it. They don't want to drop it because it's now
again 32 years
old.
Their headline.
Sure, but I don't. And it's also not about size. I mean, if you look at the iPod Touch, for example, way thinner, still has this port. So it's not about size. I think it's really about Apple thinks the future is probably wireless. And they don't think the port is needed anymore. And they will have, probably if they do it, they will have some number saying that, I don't know, how many percent people are using Bluetooth now, and that's why it's not needed anymore, and blah, blah, blah. They will be too early for that.
They're very good at staying on mission and agreeing with Adam. They're one of their missions is getting rid of cables and unnecessary ports. So they're very good at staying on mission, even if that requires taking a blind leap. Correct. They could be completely wrong. Let's just say that point blank. They could be completely wrong. Yeah. I'm going to say I doubt it. I think a lot of people, once they get over the initial ripping of the Band-Aid, will be appreciative of it. And joking on what Adam and Ewan were just talking about, yes, Apple has done that in the past, and no, it's not a unique selling point, but normally after the noisiness goes away, the cost-benefit analysis of like use of a really wonderful device or buying another pair of $30 headphones for the average person, they complain, but you get over it soon.
I've got, sorry, hang on, right.
Drinking does require a hangover sometimes.
No, I've got six. Sorry, Doc, I'm going to take issue with that because I am at the cutting edge of using Apple equipment, and I have got six dongles on here just to make equipment work. I'm sorry, but they are talking
out. You're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. Apple took the Ethernet out so that you would use Wi-Fi, not so that you would buy a dongle.
No, because I can't use Wi-Fi and do data transfers of videos off me. It's just bollocks. You're talking out your asses, boys.
No, you are the exception rather than the rule. The vast majority of people do not buy those dongles. It is only a few pro users who need those dongles.
Thank you.
And Apple shagged us.
No, okay, right. So since this rumor first broke about, 6 months ago? This rumor's been around for a while.
Yeah, it's been around.
I've been mentally keeping track of how often I shove something into that headphone jack on my iPhone. So far, I am at twice because I forgot my Bluetooth headphones and I happen to have an old pair of iPhone headphones in my bag. That's it. Mm-hmm. It's either the speaker I use or my Bluetooth headphones.
Yeah, that's all that I do. I've never even plugged anything into my 6S Plus. Any headphone, I should say. I mean, I'm charging it.
So here's what's something funny, and you may see this in your town. It just really depends. But like here, Hawaii has a very deep connection to Japan and Korea, so you'll see a lot of it. If you pick up almost any girl's iPhone in Hawaii or in Japan or in Korea, only thing you will see in a headphone jack is a little thing with a bunch of like tsumtsums and teddy bears and shit hanging off of it because people just use it as a jewelry type thing. So even I guess the hard part is when you're a pro, like, you know, you always have to deal with the market being pushed a little bit bigger by the consumer stuff. I mean, we even deal with that in cars. I look at stuff that I totally miss in cars, but it's gone away because the consumer doesn't really want it. Like, it's getting harder and harder to buy a manual. Like, you always got to get automatic. It's kind of crazy, but it was the other way around before. The automatic was the luxury and manual was what normal people got, but it happens in all kind of industries. I just think we're a little bit more different when it comes to, you know, the computer stuff. And you, into that note, I would also say we're having some of the same issues in the photography side of things as well. You know, things are becoming so consumer that, you know, we miss some features in our older cameras.
I'm all right at the minute, but then I'm crap, so there we go. They're getting rid of the button. We need to do that story because it's, I was going to do the Tidal one, but we'll do that next week. They're getting rid of the button as being a bevel device. It's going to be flush, which I think is horrific.
I mean, we've heard that for the last couple of years.
Yeah, no, but I'd like knowing when my phone, you know, when I'm in the dark, I like to know where my phone is, and I can tell which end it is by feeling the hole in the top where my ear goes and the button at the bottom where my finger goes, and it's...
And now just imagine you're blind or visually impaired. Then it's even more important that you know where is what side without feeling the entire thing.
There we go.
Well, I always know based on the side buttons. If it has three buttons, it's the left. If it has one button, it's the right.
Okay. Well, you're only talking about the home button, right? Not the sleep wake button and volume.
The home button, yeah.
Yeah. So I haven't had any sort of button on my phone for 5 years. So there you go.
What phone have you got there?
That's a Nexus 6P.
Oh, right. Okay.
So, you know, it's a virtual button. It's always been a virtual button.
Oh, okay.
So.
Cool.
You got that because the P is Potter?
That's exactly right. Yeah. Yeah.
But Apple has prided itself to being, to being as accessible. And I think that they would need to find another solution. Maybe it exists.
Maybe.
Just.
Yeah, the stream's frozen apparently, but I don't know why.
It all started when Mike picked up that damn phone that's not...
As soon as something non-Apple went full screen on the screen, it just went, stop.
Let's see what happens.
Oh, hang on. I got a spinning beach ball. I got a spinning beach ball. That's not good.
That's why.
And the timer count has stopped.
That's because you keep touching your dongles.
That's Apple.
Dude. Okay, as of 1 hour ago, this Swedish Zlatan Ibrahimovic gets a red jersey.
It won't let me.
Oh, you and you'd be happy now the Belgians are one up against the Welsh.
Yes! Get in there. Spoiler alert. The Belgians.
What the heck are you doing? I'm going to watch the game.
The screen's flashing for some reason. I got no idea why, and it won't let me start it. Has someone started it again? I do apologise. Bad luck chat room. We'll try and get back there. I'll do a computer restart in between now and the big show.
I don't think they can hear you, though.
No, right? I know.
You got to type it to them.
I'm just feeling better about saying it, that's all. Other than that, fuck them. Are you coming to the bash? Yes, we've got the bash coming up. It's great. 22nd, 23rd. The 22nd is for the curry night. It's £10 for the curry. That's for kids and for adults. And then we'll just settle up whatever's left over on the bill between all the adults. We're doing buy-your-own-drinks this year, so there won't be any silly bar bills to get dealt with at the end of it. And then it's all back to mine for a nightcap before everyone goes home. And then on the Saturday, we're at the Link down in Water Orton, and we've got a fabulous loads of party games, loads of fun, loads of chilling out, loads of people there having great time, and a whole pile of good stuff. There is the World Card Cutting Championships. It's the fourth year of the World Card Cutting Championships, and it's a fantastically attended event, and people do love it for some reason, and it is quite exciting, it has to be said. I had 80 people watch me do the draw for it last year, which was pretty impressive. We've only got 200 places down there. We've currently sold 60 of them. So in the last couple of weeks, we do get a bit of a rush on sales. So if you want to come to the bash, now's the time to buy your ticket. Get it bought, please. It's £20 for the day, but that's everything. That's the hire of the hall. That's all the food you're going to eat, and the food is awesome. Leanne's food is just stunning. And it's all the beer, all the wine, all the drinks that you want, soft drinks, tea, coffee, everything's included. You don't have to bring anything else but yourself. Last year we had an Oculus Rift on there. I think we're going to do something with the 3D printers this year. So if anyone's got a 3D printer they want to bring to add to mine, I think we're going to do little commemorative gold Lego parts for people.
So nice.
There you go. It should be really, really good. But you've got to be there, otherwise you don't get one. Limited edition stuff, I'm afraid. Thank you very much. Right, it's time. The UK 2 as well. UK 2 are the people to look after because they look after us. If you can, please go and support. The UK 2 ads disappeared. That's weird. If you can, support UK 2, please, because they're brilliant. We can't do this show without them at all. They've got a massive server that deals with the 3 terabytes of rubbish that we've put up there. And we get the 100 TB server as well. If you're in America, check out 100 TB because they sponsor us and do the live feed and that kind of stuff. So please check them out. And also look out for Hoyer Optics as well. If you want to know about the glasses I'm wearing and you want to think about getting a set done for yourself, then go to podcast@hoyer.co.uk. podcast@hoyer.co.uk, and tell Mark there, say, you know, I'm interested in the glasses, and he'll arrange in a fitting and he'll get the whole thing going, and you don't have to commit to buying them. You can just have a go, do the whole fitting thing and go, okay, well, I'm going to leave it for a minute, that's fine, walk away, no worries at all. And if you're in America, you can send an email to that address, or Australia or anywhere, and they will put you in touch with your local rep and they'll get you sorted out with measuring up for the Avantech glasses, which are absolutely stunning. And keep going as well. If you're passing an optician's, walk in and go, excuse me, do you do Hoyer lenses? And if they go no, you go, oh, that's a shame, and walk out. And then tell Mark that you've been there. Tell him the name of the place. Time for the cool things. Doc, start us off, boy.
Hold on. I just got sidetracked by this picture that just showed up in my feed, and it's pretty funny. It says America and Britain are have a competition who can F themselves up the most. Britain is in the lead, but it's okay. America has a trump card. I'm sorry, I had to tell that joke. It was pretty hilarious when I read it. Hold on, let me get my phone open. Wait, come on, dang it, my Touch ID is not working. Sorry, we are having problems. Okay, so one of my favorite apps I've been using for a really, really long time is known as the Day One Journal, and I don't necessarily use it for journaling as like open up my phone and dear diary,
Ewan called me a wanker today. I'm really pissed. No. I basically just kind of use it as a catch-all clipper for things not necessarily work-related, but I need to just, you know, want to hold on to things, whatever's in. I, you know, throw photos and whatnot in there, and I have an old Ruby script called Slogger that was written by Brett Terpster, Drink, and it basically takes my social graph and pulls all the links and stuff and throws it into this journal so I can go back at any day in history and see what I posted, you know, like 5 years ago online. Mm-hmm. And they updated the app and made a new version for iOS, and it's called Day One Journal 2. You know, good luck with the name game there, dudes. But it's really, really cool. It's way faster. It's a nice new, like, look on the UI. It's just a really cool app, and I absolutely love it. The one thing that's really weird, compliments of Apple, there's no upgrade pricing, so you got to, like, rebuy it for $5, but it's kind of worth the $5. So if you're looking for a really cool place to have kind of like your lifestyle clipboard, or even if you want to use it as a regular journal, I would highly recommend Day One and Day One 2 for the iOS. And let me get you a link.
You know what's
It's just really? dayoneapp.com, really.
Yeah. Huh? I also use Day One, and I also use Logger. And what you know what's really great about Day One 2? They introduced an API specifically for Slogger. Because they wanted us to really use it properly and not hack ourselves or try to hack the format, what they're using and all of that. So they were nice enough and worked with Brett and introduced really a great API.
So that's, oh, really? So it's easier now? I haven't reduced it to my stuff.
Yeah.
Nice. Very cool. So that Day One sync stuff is because of Brett?
As far as I know, I mean, that's what he said.
Well, I haven't talked to him in a while. Cool. Kick ass.
Excellent, mate. Thank you very much. Adam, what do you have for us, sir?
I have a cool photo app called Prisma Art Filters and Photo Effects.
This looks good.
Yeah. It's really basic. The only complaint... So I should explain what it does, and then I'll explain some of the limitations. So it takes any photo, either from your camera or from your camera roll or whatever, and applies art style effects that basically makes it look like different kinds of gallery art. And they have all kinds of different filters and stuff like that based on different art styles. So you can get like pop art styles or comic book art styles or fine art styles, you know, charcoal pencil. So they're very, very highly stylized, but it's amazing what they do. I put a little sample in the chat of just like a dime that I took a picture of on my desk and then applied like the pop art filter to.
It's awesome.
Yeah, they're really fun to play around with. It's free. It is really sort of designed and optimized for Instagram, so it will only do square cropping. You can share them out on other services through the share button, and you can, of course, save them to your camera roll, but again, they're only square. And I think it reses the images down. I don't think you can get a high res output from it because it was really designed for sort of sharing online. But really neat and fun, and it's free. Just make sure you get
the blue triangle, Adam.
Huh?
The blue triangle.
The little blue. Yeah, make sure you get the right one because there's a bunch of them. You want the one that says Prisma Art Filters and Photo Effects and doesn't have any Russian characters in the title of the app because there's a bunch of knockoff ones. So it has just a white icon with a little blue square triangle with no writing in it, no nothing. So, by Alexei Moisnikov. Oh,
yeah. I think the thing is as well, you don't have to worry so much about the resolution because what it's doing is blocking a lot of that together to create, you know, the gradient is reduced. So
I think some people like the effects so much, they're like, oh, I'd love to take this image and get like a really fine art, you know, print on canvas or something like that. Made from it. And I don't know that you can, I don't know if you have enough resolution to do like a big piece of wall art or something like that.
It depends. I mean, if you buy something that's got good interpolation, like Photoshop or Genuine Fractals or something like that, then...
Yeah. Yeah. But again, it only square crops, so some people don't like the square cropping thing. But hey, it's free and it does awesome effects. So it's a fun little thing.
Cool. Good pick. Thank you very much. Patrice, what do you have for us?
I'm going to pick an app by Marco Arment. And I mean, if you know me, then you know that I'm the big fan of Marco. But his apps are great. And he released an app called Quitter for Mac. And I mean, it's a very simple app. I mean, if you're like me, then you have at any point a bunch of apps open that you're really not using and just forgot about it. I mean, iMessage, system preferences, stuff like that. And this app basically, I mean, it only does a few things. You can pick an app, tell it to either quit it or minimize it, and tell it after how many minutes of inactivity. And that's about it. And it works. I mean, it closes the apps that I don't need anymore, so I don't have to clean up all that crap later on. And it's free, so go download it.
Yeah, I like that kind of caffeiney type, and the guest timer and that kind of stuff is really good. So yeah, no, it's good. And free's good. We like free.
Yeah.
Excellent. Mike, what do you have for us?
Real quick on Quitter, does that automatically add newly running apps? So if you just run a new app, does it automatically
add it to
the list and quit it?
No, you have to manually add it to the list. Say, okay, this app, please close it.
I know a lot of folks who just click the red X and then their app stays running in the dock and, you know, run out of memory and all that jazz. So I was just curious. Really cool, though.
Very good.
So my app is also a little one-trick pony, kind of like Quitter is. It's something I've been using for a number of years because I tend to keep a somewhat, well, I won't say cluttered. I'll say compartmentalized desktop. I like to keep certain project files on my desktop.
You're a Windows user.
No, I'm not. No, please. Oh, my gosh.
Really? No?
That's it. No.
Well, all right. You're masquerading as a Windows user.
No, I like to keep stuff handy. So I saw on Twitter the other day someone complaining about this behavior. They were walking through a coffee shop and they're looking at everybody's MacBook screen and complaining about the clutter and comparing that to the iOS file system and how much neater and cleaner it is. Well, in my case, I get rid of that clutter when I go to clients or I go to do presentations by running this little program called Desktop Curtain. I love Desktop Curtain. It's from the folks at Minitrix. They're the folks who make Moom, which is actually for Windows users who can't quite get used to some of the aspects of the Mac, which and a number of other apps. But Desktop Curtain is $4.99, and it's a simple little menu bar app that when you run it, it covers up your desktop. And one of the things I like about it is because I do use Mission Control quite a lot. It works great with Mission Control. I can, well, in my case, I use the F11 key still, but I hit the F11 key and there's all my stuff on the desktop. I hit it again, everything's hidden again, but it's great for when you're doing screencasts or if you're doing a presentation at a client site and you just forget to log into your presentation account before you get there. So again, $4.99, it's available in the App Store and it's just a neat little one-trick pony app for hiding that clutter.
What I do is I've got a folder on the desktop that's called shit, and anything that's in there, I just drag it over every day and drop it in. And
yeah, the other but then thing I got to drag it back out again.
No. Yes. After 3 months, I just delete that one.
You just delete.
And then I start another one, shit, because the way I figure it is, if it was that important, I'd have got it out before now.
Yep.
And everything goes.
You know, I use Hazel for that. Hazel cleans up my desktop, moves everything in a temp folder, and deletes it after 3 months.
You boys, he wants an application to delete a folder and make a new one. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, why not? We're geeks.
But talk us through yours, because I really don't understand it.
Sorry, did you say me? I thought Patrice would have been next.
Oh, no. Patrice has just gone, hasn't he?
No, obviously it's too late for me. I'm falling asleep. My apologies.
He did quit.
Okay, so my app, my pick is an app which is available on all sorts of platforms, but I guess for the point of this show, it's available for iOS. So it's called MyFitnessPal, and basically it sort of does two things. It does basic mathematics for you, but it also allows you to very easily track your calories. So basically it tracks your calories you consume, and it integrates with the Apple Watch. Well, actually it implements with Health. Which integrates with the Apple Watch to track how many calories you've used, and you basically tell it how much you weigh, how much you'd like to weigh, at what rate you'd like to go from where you are now to where you want to be, Anyway, I'll just tell you, your goal for today is 1,980 calories in my case. So far today, I have consumed 2,524 calories worth of food, but that's okay because I've done 1,198 calories worth of exercise. So actually, I still have 654 calories remaining. And this is actually, it sounds dumb, right? But it actually is the first time I have succeeded in consistently losing weight. So I've been using this thing for about 3 months now, and I am losing a kilogram a week and have been for all that time. And it is working. So it's absolutely amazing.
Yeah, great app.
It scans barcodes, so you very rarely have to bother your backside actually typing anything into it. You basically say, plus button, I want to add some lunch, scan the barcode, it's finished. And that is just, it is just that simple. And you come home at the end of the day, you're saying, will I or will I not have that little snack? Oh no, I don't have any calories left, I won't. And it's worked absolute wonders for me. Good. The app itself is free, and the free version is nice and it works perfectly fine, but it has really annoying ads in it. So there's an in-app purchase for a whopping €49 per year, which will make that go away. And it'll also unlock some extra features. So instead of only tracking calories, you can track other nutrients as well.
You know, Bart, when this app wasn't Under Armour yet, I had been using it a long time ago when I had to lose really fast because I got close to 300 at one point. I was getting kind of insane.
Well,
and it's amazing and easy to use back then, but it's gotten better because I just reloaded it about a month ago, maybe 2 months ago. And before, like, the scanner always was kludgy and a lot of stuff was missing. But what they do is if enough people keep putting in very similar recipes, then they'll go, oh, this must be a new food, and they'll go themselves out and get the right info and plug it in, and then it'll work. So it's ever since Under Armour came into the game and you know, paid to take over the app, it's gotten like 10 times better. But yeah, you're right, the ads are a little annoying.
Apparently as well, MyFitnessPal works with the Microsoft band too.
Excellent. Yes. So I guess since it goes through health, I guess it'll work with anything that plays nice with iOS.
Yeah.
Well, actually, outside of iOS, all of the connected devices, you know, health-related stuff, living scale, iHealth, my blood pressure monitor connects to all of this stuff. And then so I was a Runkeeper cat for a while, but I use it mostly for cycling. But I've switched over to map my ride, map my fitness, because now it ties in perfectly with this. And then so as you do the exercise, you know how you got your number right now, Bart, like say it's around 2,000. If you go and you run, you do an exercise. So yesterday my bike ride burned 1.1K. It'll actually pad that up a little bit so you can eat more if you want to. You know what I mean? Because you're burning more than you're stuffing in your pie hole. So
when you use it with the Apple Watch, it actually takes the workouts from the Apple Watch. So it will tell me I bicycled for 6 minutes this morning to get to work, which gave me 57 calories, and then for 111 minutes after work, which gave me 1,141 calories.
Yeah, excellent. I haven't got a pick because we're running out of time. We're going to start the big show in 15 minutes. I could do with a pee. where can we get a hold of you, Doc?
You can't say something like that and ask me a question. On the internet, Doc Rock, DOCROCK.
Excellent. Adam, where are you, sir?
Maccast.com, Maccast, pretty much every place else, and on the iOS show at theiosshow.com.
Excellent. Patrice.
And Casual Underscore Kitchen on Twitter, even though I don't check it anymore, and anything I do, all the links and stuff on thepatrice.com.
So you're saying me writing to you on Twitter is a waste of time?
Well, you can try. I get an email and I might respond in a week or two.
Okay.
Or five.
I think that's everybody's use with Twitter nowadays.
Erudite.
Yes.
Mike, where are you?
So I friended Patrice for no reason this morning. MacStock2016.com or for MacEyesOnly.com is the best places to find me.
And MacStock, any tickets left?
Absolutely, yeah. There's still some tickets left. We're in the final days, the final push for ticket sales. MacStock is coming up, like I said, exactly 2 weeks from now. So July 16th and 17th, if you're interested in coming out, you know, by all means, use this coupon code MACSHOW25OFF and you'll save $25 on your admission.
Excellent, mate. Best of luck with it all. I hope it goes absolutely smooth as silk.
Yeah, thank you.
Bart.
Well, you can find me at bartb.ie where I have links to all the various things I get up to, and you'll find the podcast I do over at let's-talk.ie.
Excellent, mate, and I'll see you Sunday night.
Indeed, very much looking forward to it.
Late and late. My name's Ewan Rankin. You can get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. We'll be back with the big show in a few minutes, and we'll be back with the live Mac show on Friday. If you want to come and join us, all you got to do is to go to britishtechnetwork.com/live, and you're in. Bash tickets at britishtechnetwork.com/bash tickets. That simple. Get them booked, because I need to book the venue. I've got the venue booked. I've already paid for it this week, so I need to start booking the curry and that kind of stuff. So please, please, please hack on with your bash tickets. I think prices are still fairly cheap over the road. There's a couple of places left in the hotel room. So see you soon. Thanks for listening. Nice.